Turn with me to John chapter 14, please, this morning. John chapter 14. And Sally, it's good to have you and John back. They were able to spend a week in Southern California, and I'm surprised she didn't wear her Mickey ears. I really thought she'd show up with them, but we're glad they got a week off. They deserve it. Let's give John and Sally a thank you. Amen. I told her I'd cover for her, but every phone call. Is Sally there? No, I'll call back later. Sally back yet? No, not yet. And who are you? I'm the senior pastor. Oh, we'll wait for Sally. I'm not kidding you. That's who it is. Anyway, we do appreciate him. I'm reading from the Old King James Bible this morning. All my verses will come out of that version. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. I want to talk about the Comforter. Most of your versions will use the word helper, where the word comforter is that I use. But for the sake of this message and what I want to share with you, we'll be using the Old King James. Verse 15 of chapter 14 of the book of John. Words of Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Another, meaning one similar to what you've had, which would be, of course, the Lord Jesus who's been with them. That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. See, the world doesn't understand about the Holy Spirit. They can't receive the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit when we give our lives to Christ. Amen? When we accept the Lord as our Savior, he forgives us of our sins, and he puts the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to reside within us. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Verse 17. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Notice the wording. He dwells with you. He is with you now. He's been with us, with you, for 3.5 years. But he will be in you. That's coming. Acts chapter 2. That's coming, where he will be in you. He's with you, but then he will be in you then. I will not leave you comfortless. Some versions say as orphans. I'll not leave you without comfort, but I will come to you. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. So from that verse, we know that who Jesus is talking about in verse 16 is the Holy Spirit. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. Praise God. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. Chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is going to testify of me. He's going to talk about Jesus, if you will. Chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. I don't have time to go into that verse at length this morning, except to say that it was mutually understood by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that when Jesus was taken away, the Holy Spirit would come. And so the Holy Spirit would come and reside within them. The Comforter has come. Used to sing that song years and years ago. The Comforter has come. Spread the tidings around. This word comfort is interesting. In the Old Testament, the books of poetry, there's a number of references to Comforter, but in the negative sense. In Job chapter 16, verse 2, Job says of his comforters, How many's ever heard of Job's comforters, right? The friends that were supposed to help him. Job said this of his comforters. He said, "Miserable comforters are you." Because their whole purpose was to try to prove to Job he deserved all he got, that it was his fault. How many know that would be a lousy comforter, right? All right. Ecclesiastes 4:1. Solomon looked around at the conditions around him with the poor and the needy and those who were struggling. And he said, "I was shocked that I found no comforter. There was no one to comfort those who were in need." He says, "I was startled that no comforter was there." And then in Psalm 69:20, prophetically, he speaks, I believe, of what Jesus felt like on the cross when David said, "I was surrounded by enemies and I was struggling, but I found no comforter." So obviously from those verses, we need a comforter. How many here today need a comforter? Amen. Now, in all due respect to someone who maybe have said before, "I don't need any help. I can do this on my own. I don't need any comfort. I'm fine." I beg to differ with you. I think every human being needs help or will need help at one time or another. And they need comfort. And really those two words, comforter and helper, are really interchangeable. The next week, right? Now, you may have your choice of comfort food, and maybe it's just chocolate. Yeah, maybe it's chocolate. I don't know. But it's food that brings comfort, comfort food. We think of comfortable chairs. In first service, I had a couple folks smile and say, "You know, it'd be nice if we had two or three rows of recliners." And I thought, that's a great idea. I like that. But the problem with that is the next thing you'd want is a clicker where you could turn me off and say, "You're done. You're done." A comfortable chair. How many have a comfortable chair where you live? Something that you like to get in and sit in, right? Brings a lot of comfort. It just wraps itself around you. And we talk about comforting thoughts. There's some comforting thoughts. My grandkids are coming over this afternoon. That's a comforting thought to me. I love being around my grandchildren. And my children are fine too, but my grandchildren are coming. That's a comforting thought, all right? So comfort, it's a different vernacular. Then there's some other uses of that word in our society that are really inappropriate for most gatherings, actually. But when the Scripture uses this word in the old version of comforter, we know that God is speaking about our needs and that the Holy Spirit comes to help meet those needs. The Bible speaks of the comforter as a helper, and that's why those two words are interchangeable. One who comes alongside and helps us, no matter what it is we're going through. The comforter has come, and he's there to strengthen and help and speak and etc. The Bible talks about the comforter as our forever abider. Jesus said he will abide with you forever. Unlike the Old Testament, where the Holy Spirit would come and then lift and come and then go and come and then go, the Holy Spirit now comes and resides in the believer and he stays there forever. Amen? He stays there. He's constant. He's our forever abider. He abides with us and he brings that comfort, etc. And then the comforter is also mentioned as one of the verses we read as a teacher and a reminder. He teaches us all things and he reminds us of Jesus. He's the reminder. And I want to tell you, at my age, I need a helpful reminder. I need someone that will remind me. I was in a store the other day and I saw someone at a distance that I knew, but their name just would not come up in the computer. And I tried everything. And I sometimes when I put names in my phone, I'll put something that attaches with it, you know, like sometimes maybe someone that rents our camp, I'll put Pastor so-and-so, and then I'll put something like Boone's Ferry Community Church or something. That way I know that if I press in Boone's Ferry or Community Church, I'll come up, their name will pop up, and that'll help me. Well, this person, I looked at my phone, and I could not figure it out. I said, "Holy Spirit, I really want to know their name. I really want to know their name." And so I'm avoiding them. I don't want them to see me till I come up with their name, because it's important to know their name if I can remember. And all of a sudden, it was like someone turned the light on, and the name came just like that. Usually that happens 2 hours later when I sit down in that comfortable chair, right? But it popped into my brain, that's who they are. And so I purposely found them. How you doing, Bob? Good. And Bob wasn't their name. But anyway, how you doing? Good. Yeah, okay, great day, on and on. And I said, thank you, Holy Spirit, for being my reminder. Amen. He reminds us. The Bible teaches that the Comforter is a testifier. He testifies of Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does, is he lifts Jesus up. He brings all the glory to Jesus, etc. And then the Bible simply says the Comforter has come. How do we know the Comforter has come? How do we know? I remember used to in our services, someone would ask, our president emeritus preached a sermon one time, and he said, how do we know the Holy Spirit has come in the service? How do we know? And our president emeritus, he pulled out his handkerchief and he says, well, we knew in our church when the Holy Spirit came because a little lady in the back row would pull out her hanky and started waving it. And someone else would wave. We knew the Holy Spirit had come because the hanky started waving. Amen. Now, that's a little foreign to you folks. I still carry my hanky just in case the Holy Spirit comes. No, I'm kidding. But that was the old days. You know, the Holy Spirit had come. Boy, the hanky started out, and boy, we knew God was going to come. Well, we know that that's not, you know, altogether truthful, but we know the Holy Spirit is here because we can feel the Holy Spirit. Amen? And even when we don't feel Him, and I want to tell you that is an important thing to remember. The Holy Spirit is with us even when we don't feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. But we know that He's there because He is a constant abider. The Holy Spirit has come. And why has the Holy Spirit come? He's come to help us. That's why the interchanging of those words. I'll send you another helper. I'll send you another comforter. A comforter, one that helps us in whatever situation that we're faced with. The Holy Spirit will help us. He'll give us wisdom. He'll give us direction. He'll give us insight that we don't have on our own. The Holy Spirit has come to comfort us when we've suffered the loss of a loved one, when we're going through a rough time, when we've experienced something that's devastating. We call on the Holy Spirit, and He brings a comfort that only the Holy Spirit can bring, right? We love our friends, we appreciate our family, and they bring a measure of comfort to us as well. But there is a comfort that only the Holy Spirit can bring to us. That comfort where we know that we know that we know that He is with us. The Comforter has come to guide us. The Holy Spirit will guide us. He will give us directions when we don't see where we're going. Cheryl gave a word in the first service about the fog. Sometimes we get in a fog and we can't see where we're going. And she said, we often complain about the fog, but she said, sometimes when we go through a fog time in our life, that is a time when we can look and find Jesus right there. And He says, don't worry about where you're going. I'm going to lead you. Praise God. Sometimes the fog is there for a purpose and a reason. And so the Holy Spirit is comforter. He guides us and gives us insight. The Holy Spirit is comforter, comes to strengthen us. He comes to give us power beyond ourselves. You ask yourself the question, how did they make it through that? How did they handle that? How did they get through that so victoriously? I tell you, the answer is the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit that strengthens us. The Holy Spirit teaches us. If you want to know about the Holy Spirit, I recommend that you not go on the internet and look up some conspiracy theory website. If you want to know about the Holy Spirit, get your Bibles open and begin to read, right? Amen. There is much to learn about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And you can start right here where we're at, chapter 14, 15, and 16. Interwoven throughout those chapters is the teachings of the Holy Spirit from Jesus Himself. And if you want to see them fulfilled, go to Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came down. And then read through the book of Acts and see the frequency of how the Holy Spirit guided, leaded, forbade them, encouraged them, helped them, taught them, instructed, etc. If you want to know about the Holy Spirit, read the book, because the book will tell you about the Holy Spirit. Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit has come to teach us, and He will teach us the truth. Now, the Holy Spirit as Comforter will also convict us. He will also reprove us when we need reproving, when we need convicted. The Holy Spirit will come to us. Now, Always remember, I heard this reiterated by a pastor on the radio yesterday, and it's true, that when you feel condemnation, that is not the Holy Spirit. That's the enemy. The enemy comes to condemn, to kill, steal, kill, and destroy, but the Holy Spirit convicts us. And there's a difference, right? Conviction is designed to help us be better. Condemnation is designed to put us to the floor and keep us there. And how many know that we are not condemned, those who are in Christ Jesus? Amen. But he will convict us. We'll feel that ouch factor. That's the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit does the ouch factor, that brings a lot of comfort knowing the Holy Spirit is working with us and guiding us and leading us. The Holy Spirit has come to live in us. That's one of the most precious things I think that I've learned in my long experience with serving Jesus, is that within me, there is the Holy Spirit living within me, the comforter that is there to help me, the comforter that I can talk to, the comforter that will guide me. Someone asked me one time, is it okay to pray to the Holy Spirit? They were afraid they were going to make God the Father mad. And I said, no, last time I checked, the Holy Spirit is God, so it's okay. And so he lives in us. He works through us. The Holy Spirit works through us. Maybe the Holy Spirit prompts us to come along somebody else and we can be their helper. We can be the Holy Spirit's arms and legs in helping somebody else, if you will. And so he works through us. And so we just know today that the Comforter has come. Praise God. Turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Let me give you an illustration of the Comforter from the creation story. Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 18. And again, using the old King James Version, I believe your version where it says helpmeet, your version may say helper. It's the same idea. And the Lord God said, chapter 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. How many men agree with that today? Amen? It's not good that man should be alone. So God had created man by this time. He'd created animals. But man was alone. He says, I will make him an helpmeet for him. Helpmeet is that Old Testament, that old Bible expression. Your versions are translated as helper, but basically it's the same Hebrew word. It's a Hebrew word that means one that is called alongside to help. And what's remarkable is that this Old Testament phrase, helpmeet, is linguistically very, very close, if not almost exact, to the word comforter in the New Testament. One that is called alongside to help. One's in Hebrew, one's in Greek, but they mean the same thing. One that is called alongside to help. So God says, I will make man a comforter, if you will, or a helpmeet, or a helper. Now, out of the ground the Lord God had formed, this is verse 19, every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So Adam had the privilege of naming the animals. But in a moment, Adam is also going to have the privilege of naming his helpmeet. All right? Let's read on. Verse 20, and Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet or an helper suitable for him. There's that word again. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And we have the first recorded surgery. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. The word made there in some translations is the word built. God built the woman. He built her the way she needed to be built. And that build, if you will, that form has not changed in all of these years. Just like man, it has not changed. So contrary to where you might have been taught about evolution, We have not changed. God built us the way we are today. That's the way that we were in the beginning. Because why change it if it works well? Amen? Now, the only argument I have with the Lord is, it might have been nice had he given me a tail. Because there are times a tail would be good. It would help me open the front door of the church when my arms are full without dropping. But the Lord knows best. Amen? So I'm not going to try to improve on his design. He built the woman and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "Whoa, man." No, he didn't say that. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Woman literally means man with a womb. She has the capacity to carry a child, and a man doesn't. In the Hebrew, the word woman is Isha. Beautiful name, Isha. In the Hebrew, the word man is Ish. See the difference? Isha. Ish. Huh? So thank God for the Isha, and we put up with the Ish. But we need both. We need both to fulfill God's plan, right? We need both. Here was his helpmeet. Verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." The word cleave is an interesting Hebrew word because it can mean divide, cut in two, but it can also mean to glue together. And what God intended for man and woman is to be two separate individuals, but to be glued together. That was the purpose of marriage, to make them one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. There was no shame in it. This word, helpmeet, in this passage, as I mentioned, is so close you can hardly distinguish between them to the word comforter in the New Testament. The picture of the creation of man and woman is a beautiful creation, is a beautiful picture of what God did when he said, "The comforter has come. I will send the comforter." The comforter is going to be so close to us, we feel as if we are one. The Holy Spirit will be inside of you. Isn't that wonderful? Amen? The Holy Spirit. Now, to close, I'd like you to turn to the book of Luke, please, chapter 10. I want to close with this passage because I believe it is a beautiful picture of the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying doctrinally we can base anything on this except that it's a picture is what it is. Luke chapter 10. And I'm going to read through this . And if we could just wait just a second, Jan, before you start to play, dear. Thank you. Luke chapter 10, look at verse 30. Jesus has just been asked the question, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answered and said, verse 30, you'll recognize it right away, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." How many know that's what the world does to people today? The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly." That's how important you are to God. Every one of you in this building this morning, no matter who you are, young or old, no matter what you look like today, you are that important to God. That he sent his son to die on the cross for you. That's how important you are. That you might have the way, the truth, and the life, and know life more abundantly. But the world strips us of our raiment, wounds us, departs, leaving us half dead. Verse 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. See, this is the attitude of the world today. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to stop and help. Matter of fact, I came on an accident not long ago, and I put on my flashers, and I immediately looked to see if there was maybe a need for me there. But the paramedics had already arrived, the first responders. It looked like the chaplain was there, and so I realized that I would just be in the way. So I just waited. But a guy behind me was so impatient to get around, he went off the side of the road, spun his tires to get out of there. And maybe this is judgmentalism, and I don't mean to do this, but my opinion is that guy could care less about the fact there were people hurting in that car. And he just wanted to get away from it. He just wanted to get out of there. Because he had an appointment. Starbucks was closing soon. I don't know. See, to me, that's the problem with our world today. We don't want to get involved. We don't want to worry about the guy in the ditch. We want to get away from it as quick as we can. How many know Christians cannot have that attitude? We've got to care about one another. To the question, the age-old question of Genesis, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. And yes, we are. Amen. Yes, we are. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, look at the comparison between the Samaritan and the work of the Holy Spirit, if you will. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. The Holy Spirit comes where we are. No matter where that is, he comes where we are. And when we give our hearts to Christ, he comes into our life. And it doesn't matter what we've done, or what we've been. He came where he was, and then he saw him. The Holy Spirit sees us. The Holy Spirit looks and he sees us. He sees our condition. He sees we are wounded. He sees that we are hurting. He saw him. Verse 33 again at the end. He had compassion on him. That's what I think we're lacking in our society is compassion for people and situations and needs. He had compassion on him. And then he went to him as the Holy Spirit comes to us. And then he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, took care of him, and then when he got ready to leave, he said to the innkeeper, you take care of him till he's well, and when I come back, whatever it has cost to take care of him, I'll pay that price. That, to me, is a picture of what the Holy Spirit does for us. He sees us, he comes, and he lives within us. He takes care of us, and he binds up our wounds. He is a comforter. Hallelujah. He comforts us and he strengthens us. And I am so glad that the Holy Spirit has come, not only to us, but to his church. He's come to comfort the church. He's come to comfort God's people. He's come to comfort communities. He's come to comfort the world, if only the world would receive him. The beginning of the book of John says he came to his own and his own received him not. But to those who received him, he gave them the power to become sons of God. Hallelujah. I am grateful today, and as I know you are, for the power and the presence of the Comforter. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. We've had a great extended time of prayer and our worship. And now, Lord, we thank you for the privilege that we have of knowing that the Comforter has come. Spread the tidings round. Wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. And he lives in us. Holy Spirit, I thank you for binding up our wounds, for caring for us, for comforting us in those times of hurt and times of loss, for helping us when no one else can, for guiding us, for leading us, and yes, even for convicting us and reproving us to make us better men and women for God. I thank you, Jesus, that you gave us a helpmeet, a helper in our husbands and wives. But God, I thank you even more that you gave us a helper, a comforter that would live in us, the Holy Spirit. Thank you for this time we've had together. Now, as we say so long and farewell to the folks here. We pray they'll have a great week. We pray for our community service on Wednesday, that it would be well attended and that folks would be generous with the food bank and that we could enjoy the fellowship of those of like faith, God, all our different churches. Pray that people would enjoy their Thanksgiving time together and that they would be truly grateful for the blessings of the Lord. And Father, I just can't think of anything greater than to thank you for dying on the cross for us and for sending the Comforter to be a part of our lives. Bless the people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. Thank you for coming today. May the Lord be with you. Have a great week. And we'll see you, if not before, next Sunday. God bless.